As you take your seats, please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is to come together with other believers, to see each other and love on each other, but also to worship you and to hear a word from you. It is a privilege for us to be called by your name. It is a privilege for us to work in your kingdom. It is a privilege for us to suffer for your sake. Yes. Because your word says if we suffer with you, we will also reign with you. Hallelujah. So we count it a privilege to be called by your name, set aside for your purpose. We are yours, not just a part of us, but all of us. We belong to you. And now we sit here this morning, eager to hear instructions from you. Lord God, today, change our minds that we're not looking for a word that tells us what you will do for us. But change our minds that today we want a word about what you want us to do for you. Today, God, we acknowledge you've done enough for us. And if you don't do anything else, you've done enough for us to praise you from now on into eternity, world without end. So today, our focus is, what do you want us to do for you? Hallelujah. How can we serve you better? How can we submit more? How can our hands be more available to you, our feet be more available to you, and our mouth speak your word with clarity and courage and strength? Speak to us. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And when we leave this place today, we will not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 A few weeks ago, we looked at Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, we were encouraged that as we are making plans this summer and this spring to have vacation or participate in the activities that are available for us this summer. First of all, can we just thank God for the beautiful weather that we are having? Come on, clap our hands for that. This is Minnesota. It could be snowing next week, so we thank God for today. God spoke to us a couple of weeks ago, and he says, as you are making plans to enjoy the spring and summer, I want you to make plans to be used by me. That I want you to make yourself available to be used by me, because God is always at work. Hear what I'm saying? God is always working out his agenda to accomplish his purpose and his will in the earth. And you and I have been given the privilege and invitation to participate in what God is doing. But God is not like us, who try to force our will and our way and our plans on somebody else. Y'all ever been in a situation working with somebody and they're trying to force their will and their plan on you? Oh, I know somebody's going to deal with this tomorrow. You got somebody in your job trying to force their will and their way and their plan on you. But God's not like that. He said, here's my will. Here's my plan. Whosoever will, let him come. I give you a standing invitation to participate in what I am doing. And so we are making ourselves available to be used by God as workers in the kingdom of God. So today I want to look at Luke chapter 10 from a different perspective. I thought about the fact that usually when you get a new job, one of the first things they give you is an employee handbook. Am I right? And the employee handbook tells you what you should expect as an employee of the said company. It also lists out an explanation of benefits. Here are the benefits you receive as an employee of this company, and here is what you can expect as an employee of this company. So for a few moments this morning, I want us to use our imagination and look at Luke chapter 2 as if it was the employee manual for those who work for the kingdom of God. Because I believe when we look at these scriptures that we are going to find what we can expect if we're going to be working for the kingdom of God. We will find out what we should expect, and then we will find out some of the benefits that are associated with working for the kingdom of God. Amen? Luke chapter 10, verse number 2 gives us the first thing that we can expect as employees working for the kingdom of God. This is the first item in the employee handbook. Verse 2 says, these are the instructions he gives to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Here's the first expectation in the employee handbook. There will always be more work than workers. He's telling us right now, when you work for the kingdom of God, there's always going to be more work to be done than people to do the work. So no matter how much you did yesterday, you have as much work to do tomorrow, maybe more. You know, sometimes if you work late on Thursday, you get to leave early on Friday. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God. You can work late on Thursday, and when you get to work on Friday, there is as much work to do on Friday as if you have not been to work all week long. There's always more work than workers. So if you work for the kingdom of God, you can never have a party, never celebrate what you have done and the work you have accomplished, because there's always much more work to do than what you've already done. Isn't that right, Sister Carrie? And so if you are a person who needs instant gratification, it's going to be hard for you to work in the kingdom of God, because you can work in the kingdom of God for years and never see anything produce, because there is a planting season and there's a harvesting season. I saw a farmer on the news just the other day. He's in planting season now. He says in the planting season, he spends between 16 and 20 hours a day just planting. Now, when you plant, you don't receive a harvest the day you plant. Come on, somebody. You plant and you wait. You plant and you wait. Somebody's phone's ringing. You plant and you wait, and you never know how much you're going to get, but you keep on planting and you keep on waiting. And then when it's harvest time, you go through another season of working 16 to 20 hours a day. There's always more work to be done. So Jesus says, listen, if you're going to work for me, you must understand that there's always going to be more that can be done. There's more work than workers. The second item we find in the handbook is verse 3. Verse 3 says, now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. So here's the second thing you can expect. When you work for the kingdom of God, you are working in a hostile work environment. He said, let me tell you right now, this is a hostile work environment. Companies spend millions of dollars every year trying to make sure that the employees who work for them enjoy coming to work. They spend millions of dollars every year trying to make sure that people like coming to work, because they realize that if you enjoy coming to work, you will be more productive when you get there. Brother Luke just got a new job. I won't tell you who he's working for, but he's working for a major company. And he tells me all that they do to make sure he wants to come to work. I mean, there's this thing, are we here to have fun or are we here to have work? But they realize that if people want to come to work, they're more productive. Let me tell you this. The kingdom of God has made zero investment in your comfort. The kingdom of God has not invested not one red cent trying to make sure you are comfortable. In fact, Jesus said, if you want to work for me, take up your cross and follow me. And if you're not willing to suffer with me, you can't work for me. Said you're not fit to work for me. When you work in the kingdom of God, it is a hostile work environment. He said, listen, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. So I looked up the characteristic of wolves because I need to know who I'm working with or against. Listen, wolves are the most vicious and bloodthirsty of all animals. Wolves kill as much prey as possible. Most animals kill when they are hungry, but wolves don't kill based upon hunger or appetite. Wolves kill for sport. Wolves kill because you're there, whether they are hungry or not. So Jesus is saying, I am sending you out in an environment where there will be wolves who kill for sport, who will desire to kill you just because you are there. And you wonder why there are people who don't like you and you don't know why. You haven't done a thing to them and they don't like you. Why? Because wolves don't have to have an ought against you to kill you. They kill you because they like what blood tastes like. And Jesus says, I'm sending you out in that environment. You know what else I found out about wolves? Wolves are the most perceptive of all animals. They watch, they figure out your pattern, and they attack. So not only are we in an environment of bloodthirsty wolves, but they're smart. And that's a dangerous thing, to have a smart, bloodthirsty wolf that's very perceptive. But here's the thing. He says, but I'm not sending you out, because here's what I would like. I'm sending you out among wolves, but I'm sending you out as a bigger and stronger wolf so you can eat up all the other wolves. That's not what he said, Dana. He said, no, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Oh, well, sheep are prey animals. Sheep don't prey on any animal. They are the prey of many animals. But here's how sheep survive. Sheep have excellent smell and hearing. So they smell you before you show up. They hear your walk. There's a different type of walk in this field. This is not the field where we need to be. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. Hallelujah. Yeah. He said, I don't want you to be a wolf. I need you to be somebody that can hear when I speak. Hallelujah. And you won't follow a stranger. Because if you do, the wolf will get you. Here's another thing about sheep. Sheep always flock together. They survive because they stick together. You will very rarely see a lone sheep in the wild, because if you do, he won't be there long. Because when you're by himself, he's easy prey for the wolves and any other animal that wants to get them. So he said, be like sheep. In order for us to survive, we must stick together. Can I bust up a lie that's out here in our culture right now? You cannot be a believer and not be in constant fellowship with other believers. You cannot be a successful believer and you don't get together with other believers for prayer, worship, studying of God's word, and working together. You cannot do it successfully if you will be out there on your own and you will be easy prey. Let me tell you what I know after 30 years of ministry. Here is what I know for sure. People who are not in constant fellowship with other believers are easy prey for the adversary. They are in constant need of special one-on-one deliverance because they haven't been in fellowship with other believers. Come on, somebody, let me tell you. If we don't stick together, you're not going to make this by yourself. You're not going to be able to figure this out by yourself. You need another sheep standing next to you saying, "That don't sound like our master's voice. We need to come on this side." He said, "Watch out. Because I'm sending you as sheep among wolves." Here's the third item. So not only is the work hard, that's number one. Number two is a hostile work environment. Number three, we found in verse 4. This is good. He says, "Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road." Here's the next item. It's twofold. First of all, you work for the kingdom of God. Don't bring anything with you. When we travel, there's two things you need. You need money and extra clothes. Is that right? If you don't have money, you need extra clothes. If you don't have extra clothes, you need money. So Jesus said, if you want to work for me, don't bring any of your stuff with you. Because I'm going to take care of you. See, the problem is many of us are trying to work for the kingdom of God using our stuff. Jesus says, leave your money and your extra clothes at home. If you're going to work for me, you have to depend on me to take care of all of your needs. It is difficult to work for, it is impossible to work for the kingdom of God and be obsessed about your own personal needs being met. If you are consumed with what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to sleep? How am I going to have this? How am I going to have that? You will not know anything about the kingdom of God. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things, clothes, food, shelter, will be added to you. Leave your stuff at home because I'm going to take care of you. We trying to work for God with our own stuff, depending upon our own stuff. Second part here, he says, and don't talk to anybody along the way. Now, I have to be honest. I'm not sure why he encouraged them not to talk to anybody along the way. But I do know this. When you're working for the kingdom of God, you have to be careful who you talk to. Because people will talk you out of your assignment. You will know that God has spoken to you and told you to do a particular thing, and on your way to do what God said do, you end up talking to somebody and they talk you out of what God has told you to do. And you know what else? Sometimes you got to stop talking to yourself too. Oh, that's just me. Okay. You know who is really good at talking me out of what God told me to do? Me. Can nobody talk me out of it better than me? I am the one person who can hear a word from God and then I talk to myself and say, "Oh, Tim, I don't think you can do that. That's going to be a lot. That's going to be hard. And I don't know if the people are going to go along with it." And you talk yourself out of it. If you're working for the kingdom of God, you cannot spend time talking to everybody about what God has given you to do, because people will talk you out of it. People will call themselves encouraging you and end up discouraging you. You have to keep your eyes focused on what God has given you and keep your mouth shut. And you know what? I'm going to say this is the burden that I'm moving on. Part of not talking to other people along the way means mind your business. Don't talk to me about what God has called me to do, and I won't talk to you about what God has called you to do. I'm not going to judge what you're doing. You don't judge what I'm doing. Mind your business, and I'm going to mind mine. I'm going to work this part of the field, and you work part of the field, because guess what? There's a big field out here that's not being touched. There's a lot of work for everybody to do. We don't have to compete over anything, because there is more work to do than workers to work it. I'm not in competition. I'm not in competition with anybody, because the harvest is great. Hallelujah. We just don't have enough people to work the harvest. The fourth item, we're almost done here. The fourth thing is found in verses 5 through 11. I'm going to try to group these things together for the sake of time. But the fourth item that we find in the handbook begins at verse 5. Verse 5 says, whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. So here, the first item is, remember that you are an instrument of peace. As you work for the kingdom of God, you offer peace. Peace with God is what you are offering to man. We are announcing to mankind that God is not angry, but he has made a way for us to have peace with him. So we are offering peace to every house. So keep the message clear. Here's what you have to do as a worker of the kingdom of God. We're not going in there to talk about our opinion, about our view, about our experience. We're going in there to share the peace of God to every house we enter. He said that's the first thing you do. You offer peace. In verse 6, he says, if those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. So we don't lose anything. If we offer it and they reject it, it comes back to us. Verse number 7. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. In other words, don't bring your stuff. I'm going to provide for you, but don't be so falsely humble that when someone offers something to you, you deny it. You are worthy of it. Like, some people have problems receiving compliments. Some people have problems receiving offerings. But here, the Bible says the worker is worthy of his hire. Huh? You cannot say, God, I have all these needs being met that need to be met, and they're not being met. But then every time somebody offers you something, you say, oh, no, thank you. I just work for the Lord. No, I don't. No, you need that. Can I give y'all something off the record? Listen, this is my vocation. This is what I do. This is my livelihood. And I used to go out and not accept offers. No, I just work for the Lord. Then I come home, then they said, what are we going to eat? Oh, I work for the Lord. No, I need that. Oh, y'all don't want to have a real conversation. We want to be deep here. No, if you invest time working for the Lord, he told you don't bring anything, and then he sends you somewhere, and where he sends you, they're giving you provision. Accept the provision. Or don't complain that you don't have, no, I'm working for the Lord, and I don't have nothing, because you're turning everything down. All right, moving on. That's not in my notes. I hope that helps somebody. Verse 8, he says, if you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. Verse 10, but if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. He gives us instructions here. He says, first of all, understand that when you work for the kingdom of God, everybody's not going to receive you. You're going to be rejected more than you are accepted. Remember, this is a hostile work environment. But he says, if they receive you, stay. Don't go from house to house to house. Stay. In other words, you will go into places, and if the ground is fertile, stay there and work that ground until it is no longer fertile. Don't come over here and work this ground. It's going good. And then you go to another ground that goes good. Then you go to another ground. Then you have all these incomplete gardens that don't grow to potential. Stay there. If there are people there ready to receive and they're responding, don't just give them a little bit here and a little bit there. Stay there and work that field until everything that can be harvested has been harvested. Then he says, now if you go to a place and they reject you, wipe the dust off your feet and keep it moving. Here's what you have to learn. I don't spend any time arguing with people, debating with people, and try to convince them about who Jesus is and what he has done. Why? Because there are too many people who are ready to hear and respond to the gospel. And if I spend all of my time debating with somebody who has already decided they want nothing to do with God, then by the time I get to the field where there is work to be done, I'm too tired to work that field because I spent all of my energy on a field that's dried up, haven't had seed in years. He says, if they don't receive you, bye. Huh? Why are you getting upset? You've been arguing with Uncle Joe for 20 years. He don't want Jesus. But your nephew is hungry and thirsty for him, and you too busy fussing with Uncle Joe. Talk to to little Timmy over there in the corner. Timmy wants Jesus. That was funny. Laugh, y'all. Why are we trying to convince people? They say, listen, tell them, the kingdom of God was near you. I release you to your faith. Huh? You're in the hands of God. I have done. See, the outcomes, thank you, Lord, the outcome is not up to us. Sometimes we work a field that's not producing because we've convinced ourselves that if this field doesn't produce, then we have failed. The devil is a liar. It's not our field. It's the Lord's field. Our job is to plant the seed. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. It's God's field. We don't own anything. We are workers. You're a worker. It's not your field. If the field is not successful, it's not your fault. There's a Lord over the harvest. It's his field. And he already said some of it's good ground, some of it's stony, and some of it's not good ground. He already told you most of the ground in my field is not good. But you don't know the difference between good ground and bad ground. So you ought to put the seed in every place you go. See, that's how you get discouraged. You're discouraged in ministry because you're working and you're not seeing anything being produced and you think you must be doing something wrong. That's why you have to read the Bible, because he already said some of the work in my field, some of the ground in the Lord's field is not good ground. And it's not the seed's fault. Huh? You'll say the word is not effective because I planted in this ground over here and it didn't produce anything. The seed is powerful. It's the ground that has to be worked on. That's why we say, Lord, prepare the hearts of the people before we come. Lord, break up that stony ground. Prepare them so that when we plant the seed, they're able to receive it. Some of our job is just to work the ground. Work the ground. Then somebody else plants, and then somebody else waters. But again, God gives the increase. Here's the fifth item. Fifth item, verse 16. He says, then he said to the disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. Here's the item. When you work for the kingdom of God, don't take things personal. Y'all hear what I said? If someone, you offer the message to somebody and they reject the message, they have not rejected you. They have rejected Jesus. They've rejected the Lord. And ministry can be very discouraging when you're doing things and people are not receiving and people are not responding. And you can talk yourself into, I must be doing something wrong. Why are they rejecting me? They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting God. Because guess what? He already said it's a hostile work environment. And there's a lot of work to be done, which means there are a lot who will not receive the message, but there are many who will. And working 16 hours a day. Do y'all know that farmers don't reap every seed that they plant? That a lot of the seed that is planted never produces anything? Do you think they stop because some of their seed didn't produce anything? No, they keep on. They come back season after season, year after year, because they know there will be seasons of great harvest. There will be seasons of little harvest. And there may be seasons when there's no harvest at all. But they keep on working the field. Because when it's good, it's great. Sixth item, then we'll be done. Sixth item, verse number 17. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. So the 70 disciples come back, and they're excited because they experienced one of the benefits of working for the kingdom of God. They discover that even demons obey them when they use the name of Jesus. They find, wait a minute. Jesus, did you know that when we use your name, evil spirits are subject to us? Jesus says, well, are you surprised by this? Listen, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He is a fallen angel. He don't have any power or authority over me. And didn't I tell you, in my name you shall? Are you surprised? Here's the benefit. He gives us the authority to use his name. Can I tell you, when you work for the kingdom of God, you are given the authority to use his name. If you represent the United States of America as an ambassador, when you speak, it is as if the United States of America is speaking. All that the U.S. has available to it, you have available to you, because you are coming in the name of the United States. And Jesus said, I am sending you out in my name. And demons tremble at the very name of Jesus. And I am giving you permission, authority, to use my name. Yes, you're among wolves. Yes, you're among snakes and scorpions. But guess what? When you use my name, nothing shall harm you. Hallelujah to God. Lord have mercy. That's why the devil don't want us to call on the name of Jesus. He wants us to call him the man upstairs or the big guy in the sky. No, he has a name, and his name is Jesus, and demons tremble at that name. He is not the big man upstairs. He is Jesus. Hallelujah to God. So no evil spirit can dominate us or control us or harm us when we call on the name of Jesus. He says, I give you permission to use my name. See, there are people out there in the Bible who ran across some demons, tried to use the name of Jesus. They said, listen, I don't know you. I know these other people, but who are you? You don't have the authority. I'm looking at who I have to submit to when they knew use the name Jesus, and you're not on the list. Can I tell you, if you're a believer in the room, you are on the list when you use the name of Jesus. Demons have, listen, no spirit of depression, oppression, fear, frustration, unforgiveness, loneliness, bitterness, anger. None of those spirits have power over us, because we can say, in the name of Jesus, I will not be depressed. In the name of Jesus, I will not be oppressed. I will not be unforgiving and resentful and angry and bitter. No, I will have the joy of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Nothing can harm you. I don't care how bloodthirsty the wolf is. He can't harm you when you call in the name of Jesus. Then y'all sing a song. Tell me who can stand before us when we call on that great name. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. We have the victory. So here's the benefit. You get to use my name. You get to use my name. It's interesting here. And not only are we working amongst wolves, but he also mentioned snakes and scorpions. I'm going to leave y'all alone, but some of y'all are going to work tomorrow with wolves, snakes, and scorpions. But guess what? None of them can harm you, because you got the power to use the name of Jesus. Let them bark, let them talk, let them swivel around you, but the authority is in the name of Jesus. He said, nothing can harm you. I got to go. We got to go here. Final point is in verse 20. Jesus gives his final point. This will be my final point for today. He says, so they come to Jesus, and they're excited about the fact that demons obey them and are subject to them. And this is Jesus' response to them. He says, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Listen, they come to Jesus, and they're like, hey, Jesus, guess what? Demons are subject to us. Guess what? Ha ha, we got the power. Jesus says, you're rejoicing over the wrong thing. He said, don't rejoice because you casting out devils and trampling over snakes and scorpions. You're doing that in my name. Don't rejoice over that. He said, no, rejoice because your name, oh God, thank you, is written in heaven. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. New Living Translation uses the word registered in heaven. So I thought about when you register for a conference, it means two things. When you register for a conference, the first thing it means is that the host is expecting you. So I register for a conference. I'm telling the host I'm coming. And now the host is expecting me. And because the host is expecting me, Lord have mercy, the host prepares a place for me, because it's expecting me, because my name is registered for the conference. Hallelujah. So the host is expecting me, and because they're expecting me, they have prepared a place for me. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to be at the conference in heaven, and your name is registered, so I am expecting you. And because I am expecting you, I have prepared a place for you. Listen, I am thankful for the grace of God in my life. I am thankful for the people who have been healed and blessed and transformed or impacted in any way because of the grace of God in my life. But at night, when I'm all alone, I don't rejoice over any of those things. I rejoice because I know somewhere in heaven right now is a mansion with my name on it, and that mansion is not subject to foreclosure. No one can take it for me. When I get finished working down here, there is a place prepared for me in heaven, and that is why I rejoice. I rejoice because this is temporary. I rejoice because no matter how great things are here, Sister Karen, they don't compare to heaven. I rejoice because every day I work in the kingdom, I'm one day closer to taking ownership over my mansion. So I can't talk to people who try to talk me out of it because I'm already registered. And there's a no refund policy, so I'm on my way. Come too much to turn around. Brother Terrence, I'm going to keep on working. And sometimes I'll plant a seed and it'll produce fruit, and I'll celebrate that fruit. But then there are many years I'll plant and won't see anything. But my job is to plant. My job is not to inspect fruit or measure fruit or count fruit. My job is to plant seeds. I am a planter, and I work for the harvest. So I put the gospel here. I put the gospel there. When I found the ground that's ready to receive that gospel, I stay there and work it until the master tells me to come. And I don't rejoice over the harvest because it's not mine. Hear this. We rejoice over the wrong thing. We do stuff, and there's a harvest. And we rejoice over the harvest as if it is ours. It is not yours. The harvest belongs to God. Jesus said, rejoice because your name is registered. We're going to do some work this summer. God has called us to do a specific assignment this summer in this community. We're going to work the Lord's field this summer. But we're not going to rejoice over the harvest. We're going to rejoice because our name is written. Because here's why you don't rejoice over the harvest. Because we work the field and we don't see a harvest, we consider our work unsuccessful and the adversary steals our joy. So we're telling him right now, the harvest is not the cause for our celebration. Lord have mercy. Whether they come or not, whether they respond or not, that doesn't dictate whether or not we have joy. We have joy because our names are registered in heaven. And we can always celebrate that regardless of the outcome. Would you stand to your feet? I know I held you a little longer this morning, but God is talking to us. He's inviting us to work. Today is Pentecost Sunday on the Christian calendar, celebrating the descent of the Holy Spirit all over the world today. But you know what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you know what the very next thing he said? He says, and you shall be my witnesses. The power is to witness. He says, after the Holy Ghost come upon you, I'm going to give you the power, the authority to be an effective witness for me. Some of us, we stay at a celebration, but we haven't worked the harvest. We haven't worked the field. Can I help us again? Harvest time is work time. For many years, I've heard people talk about the harvest as if that's the time of celebration. No, when it's harvest time, that means the field is white and ready to be harvested, And if we don't have enough workers to work the field, we're going to leave some of the harvest in the field because there's not enough people to pull it in. So Jesus says, so pray. Here's what Jesus said. He says, now pray. Here's what you do. You work for the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, there's more work than workers. So I want you to serve as my recruitment department and pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. I promise you, I'm going to let you go in a minute. But you know who care about how many laborers there are? Only people who are working the field. That's why some of us don't pray for more workers. Because we're not working. We're working our field. We got our purse. We got our extra clothes. We have everything that we need. And we're just making sure that everything we need is taken care of. But we're not concerned about the harvest. And God is saying, I need some more workers. I have more harvest than workers. You don't have to compete for ministries and opportunities and I want to do this, I want to do that. There's a wide field out there that's waiting to be harvested. And you and I have been called by God to work his field while it is day, for the night's coming and no man can work. Can you bow your heads? We're going to pray today that we will make ourselves available to be used by God. There's a harvest in your house. There's a harvest in your neighborhood. There's a harvest on your job. There's a harvest at the grocery store that you visit on a regular basis. The fields are white with harvest, but there's not enough workers to work the harvest. There's no job shortage in the kingdom of God. There's something for all of us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for calling us by your name and appointing us for this day and for this purpose. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that as we meditate on the words that we have heard today, that our hearts will be pricked, that our minds will be moved to make ourselves available to be used by you. Lord, some of us has prayed for a harvest. We've prayed that they will come from the north, south, east, and west. We've prayed for our loved ones. We've prayed for our neighbors. But God, now you are saying it's time to work. It's time to get out of our comfort zones and get busy working for the kingdom of God. We thank you, God, that you've given us some instructions. You haven't fooled us. You've let us know that there's more work than workers, and it's a hostile work environment, and we're going to be rejected and hated and talked about. You've already told us that, so thank you for telling us the truth. But God, we thank you that you also have given us the authority to use your name, and nothing can harm us. Hallelujah. So the workplace is hostile, but we are safe in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that we know that payday's coming after a while. Hallelujah. If we're not weary in well-doing, we shall reap if we faint not. So God, I pray for every worker today that they faint not, God, that you give them strength, that you give them courage. No matter how many years they've been working your field, God, give them the courage and the strength to work your field as if this was their first day. Renew their energy and their insight and their focus, God, as if today was the first day they received their assignment. Many of us have been working your field for years and have gotten tired, but renew our strength, restore our joy in the name of Jesus Christ, because the harvest is yet plentiful. And we pray that you will send workers to work your field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.